Today is now May 25th, 2025. This is Alan Mass from Indiana. And our lesson today is going to be probably a brief one, but it's going to be on blindness and mysteries. Blindness and mysteries. The purpose of this study is to draw a parallel between the blindness of Israel to the mystery of Christ and the blindness of Judeo-Christianity to the mystery of the body of Christ. I guess, Chico, you don't need to post my script because I'm just reading my notes. So you can post the scriptures when we get to it. Charles Welch once said the Bible is a story of two kinds of mysteries. These two mysteries are the mysteries of godliness and the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of godliness concerns righteousness, and the mystery of iniquity concerns unrighteousness. The mystery of godliness concerns well worship, and the mystery of iniquity concerns false worship. The mystery of godliness proclaims the truth, and the mystery of iniquity proclaims untruth. One is manifested in Christ, and the other is manifested in the Antichrist. The present creation, as we know and we've learned from scriptures, was made by Christ and for Christ. All mankind are descendants from Adam, who was made a mortal soul. And that soul was the combination of his flesh and the spirit given to him by God. Mankind is divided into two groups called seeds. One seed remains in the sin of Adam, while the other seed obtains sanctity in Christ. One is of the spirit of Antichrist, the other is of the spirit of Christ. One seed are those who die in Adam and are said to perish and to have no more life. The other seed are said to die in Christ and are changed and they put on immortality and continue life elsewhere. The trick is knowing where elsewhere will be. In the Bible, we see that over time, to accomplish his overall plan for the ages, God deals with different groups of people in different ways. That is why we are told to rightly divide. The attributes of God and the economies of God are progressively revealed to mankind over a period of time in the Bible. And it has taken mankind a long time to understand the attributes of God and the economies of God after they are revealed by him in the Bible. For example, it took almost 4,000 years for God to incarnate his son as the promised Messiah and Savior for Israel and to reveal the mystery of Christ. After another 2,000 years, Israel has refused to see and acknowledge the chosen one as their own, the chosen one of their own as the Christ. For another example, it took God almost 4,000 years to reveal the mystery of the body of Christ to the Apostle Paul. And it's taken just a few of his saints almost 2,000 years to understand and acknowledge the mystery of the body of Christ after it was revealed. Additionally, after 4,000 years, God made a great change in his economy with Israel. And it has taken those in Christ almost 2,000 years to understand and acknowledge that great change in God's economy since the end of the book of the Acts in the Bible. To this day, in the 6,000-year history of man, the glorious good news of the body of Christ goes unheard and unknown by most of God's people. That is why, and that's what I call a mystery. Oscar Baker wrote in Volume 13 of Truth for Today, in page 42, he said, "What the dispensation of the mystery might be is still a mystery to many good folks," in his good old rural vernacular. The records in the Bible prove that, given enough time, man will degrade and fail. Man will manage to get it wrong. Man will manage to mess things up to satisfy his own fleshly needs and desires. After all the figures and types and shadows given to Israel and the miracles performed by God and Christ and many others, except for an elect remnant, Israel still could not see Jesus as the Christ. They had been witness of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and the apostles, but the religious leaders became a barrier to the truth. Only a few were chosen to overcome these obstacles before the end of the Acts. The mystery of Christ remains a mystery to most of all the nations of the earth today. The mystery of the body of Christ is the pinnacle of the mystery of Christ. The mystery of the body of Christ is the pinnacle of biblical doctrine for today. No human being has ever written anything as exalting and glorious as Paul's prison epistles to the Ephesians and to the Colossians. Yet these glorious epistles get little attention in church preaching because of human blindness to God's truth. The dispensation of the mystery of the body of Christ is only for the faithful people chosen by God for a heavenly purpose. Only God knows who has the qualities that he requires for this purpose. Now in Titus 1:1, Paul wrote that he was a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. In 1 Timothy 2:3-4, we all know well that what Paul wrote, "For it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come unto the acknowledgement of the truth." And Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:7 that he was ordained a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, to teach those that oppose themselves, if God perhaps will give them a repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. That was in 1:25, 2 Timothy 1:25. In 2 Timothy 2:7, there, Paul says, those that are ever learning and never able to come to the acknowledgement of the truth. And in verse 4:4 of 2 Timothy, Paul said, for they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. In Titus 1:13-14, he says, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Well, I don't know about you, and I don't mean to be critical here of other believers. This is just to say in passing, not to be critical, because they all are blessed and they all are children of God and will have their rewards somewhere. But in my past experiences with religion and going to church, these verses that we just read from Paul seem to exactly describe what is happening today in Christianity. How many called Christians can see themselves as a subject of these verses? Paul is not talking about the Jews or the unsaved Gentiles. He's talking to and about the saints. On the side, I remember I was out working, selling insurance in rural Indiana, staying in a motel during the week, and in this hotel, I noticed there were some guys having a Bible study sometime during the day. And so I asked if I could join them. They said, sure. There was three or four of them, and they were from a nearby church. And they were, of course, going through the Gospels and discussing about, you know, we should be visiting the blind and visiting those in prison and so forth as Jesus was teaching. And I asked them a question quite pointedly. I said, maybe you are the blind. Maybe you are the ones in prison. Did you ever think about that? Well, they quickly changed the place they were having their Bible studies. They didn't meet there anymore after that. I understand that everybody claims to know or to have the truth. But the truth of God must come from God and be given by His Holy Spirit through wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. As soon as the mystery of the body of Christ was revealed to Paul, Satan knew of it. Satan wasted no time in perverting the truth and deceiving the saints. Satan is a religious being and traffics his lies and deceit through religions. He also works very well in perverted Bibles. The religion of Christianity is his masterpiece. There's no evidence that in the second century anyone understood or acknowledged the mystery, except a few who were close to Paul, very close. Satan is extremely confident that rarely will someone ever pick up a Bible and do the work that it takes to discover the truth and challenge the traditions of men and the doctrines of demons and the deception of Satan. I've been accused of, you study too much. You know, that's much deeper than we go. So, in those days, it was easy because only a few people could read anything. The workers of iniquity, under the authority of darkness, will propagate a lie and repeat it so often and for so long that it becomes accepted as the truth. But it's still a lie. The mystery of the body of Christ is one of those truths that has been turned into a fable or a myth. This is the work of iniquity. After Paul and Timothy left the scene, the mystery of the body of Christ became obscured and misunderstood. The Jewish fable is that the kingdom hope and ordinances were still in force and only had to be modified for the believers. The Jewish fable that the body of Christ is the body of all believers in Christ. As defined by the religion of Christianity, this body even claims to be the bride of Christ, or something now they call the new Israel. This is obviously the result of the failure to rightly divide the word of truth. Whereas in truth, Paul clearly tells us in Ephesians 2 that after the end of Acts, God created in Christ not a new Israel, but one new man, which is neither Greek nor Jew. Out of that one new man in Christ are being called the members of the chosen body of Christ. As I understand Paul's writings in Ephesians and Colossians, out of the saints are being called the faithful saints, those who are faithful to the acknowledgement of the truth. This revelation of the mystery of the body of Christ given to Paul after the end of Acts is the glorious good news to the saints. And most saints had never been taught that. The glorious good news is found wanting in the teachings of the many sects of the religion of Christianity. But we must accept this fact as God's plan and purpose for this age. The definition mystery and mysterious are similar and are threefold. Number one definition, mystery or mysterious, anything in the character or attributes of God or in the economy of divine providence which is not revealed to man. Anything in the character or attributes of God or in the economy of divine providence which is not revealed to man. That's the mystery. Number two, a profound secret, something wholly unknown or something kept cautiously sealed until it is revealed to mankind. And number three, that which is revealed but is beyond human comprehension until explained. In this sense, mystery often conveys the idea of something highly exalted or important. So concerning number one, are there any attributes of God or any mysteries of His will that we have not been revealed? During the course of the time covered by the Scriptures, the attributes of God and His divine economies were unfolding as some were not known to mankind until revealed. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you embrace the following verses. Ephesians 1:8-9. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man. That perfect man is the completeness of knowledge. You come to the end of all knowledge that you can learn unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Colossians 1:9. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is exactly what we should be doing today, increasing in good works, increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 2:2, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgments of the mystery of God, the Father of Christ, in which are hid the secret treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's my paraphrase. So, we definitely have those kinds of attributes of God that we fully understand at this time, because I think he's revealed them, all of them to us yet again. Number two, concerning number two definition, the mystery of the body of Christ was always in the divine providence of God and was always part of his overall plan. But it was kept secret, hid in God, hid from Satan for ages and generations until the time fitting for God to reveal it to mankind. Christ chose Paul for this very reason. Jesus already chose 12 disciples to become apostles to Israel. God knew that he would set aside Israel and all of the things pertaining to Israel, including the 12 apostles to Israel. Therefore, it was necessary to choose someone of Paul's character and commitment to carry on with all nations after Israel was set aside for their continued disobedience. He didn't set aside Christ, but he postponed Christ's return for Israel. When he continues with Israel in the future, the 12 apostles and the Acts epistles will resume in their application to Israel. When I read the general's epistles of Peter, James, Jude, and John, I can see those being, applied in the future. The post-Acts writings of Paul will become historical records of the called out body of Christ. Concerning definition number three, this is where we find ourselves at the present. The great mystery of the body of Christ has been revealed to Paul, and Paul explains it in writing as best he can in those most precious prison epistles to the Ephesians and Colossians. In my opinion, Paul knew he was not going to get out of prison this time, and he had to get it down in writing. And thank God he did. This very important and highly exalted mystery has been sitting there in the scriptures for almost 2,000 years. Beyond man's comprehension. Until someone's eyes were opened so he could explain it to others. Why it has taken so long for man to understand what Paul wrote is left to the divine providence of God. In my opinion, God probably knew we'd screw it up, so he let it ride for a while till the very end. The mystery of the mystery of the body of Christ is that it has been revealed but seems to be incomprehensible to man until it is explained. Christians today are blinded to the mystery of the body of Christ. Peter Redman gave a lesson a few weeks ago entitled, The Mystery of a Silent Heaven. And I highly recommend you go to his website, look it up, and listen to it. The website is thebibleforum.podbean.com. thebibleforum.podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N, podbean.com. Every Sunday, his lessons are posted on that website. The Mystery of a Silent Heaven. Very good lesson. Is there a connection between blindness and mysteries? There can be another extensive study done about all the failures and subsequent mysteries that have occurred from the fall of Satan to the end of Satan. Mysteries or hidden secrets have been necessary solely because God has an enemy. Mysteries are introduced to us in the Old Testament through the book of Daniel. This book was written during the Babylonian captivity of Israel, 496 B.C. to 426 B.C. 70 years. This book was written during a period of Gentile rule and Israel was lo ami. The Hebrew Bible places Daniel not with the prophets, but with the book of Psalms, as they do the book of Jonah, because Daniel and Jonah were writing about Gentiles. And the Hebrews really want nothing to do with anything about Gentiles. So chapter 2 through 7 in the book of Daniel are historic and are written in the Gentile language of Aramaic or Chaldean, while chapters 8 through 12 are prophetic and written in Hebrew. Now the word mystery is the word secret in Daniel, which in the Aramaic or Chaldean is Strong 7328, Raz, R-A-W-Z, Raz, which means to hide, a mystery or secret. God is revealing secrets in the book of Daniel, which are mysteries of his unfolding plan to the end. He's giving these to Daniel through the life of Nebuchadnezzar and his dreams. These mysteries are being revealed during a time when Israel is lo ami, which is after Isaiah pronounced their blindness in Isaiah chapter 6, which was written in the year that King Uzziah died, 649 B.C. So this is some 200 years earlier than Daniel's writing. So I think we all know that in Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, he says, and he said, go and tell his people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. How long? Well, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until these cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the lands be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsakening in the midst of the land. Well, this has happened more than once to Israel. And keep in mind that Israel does not pay much attention to the book of Daniel and the prophecies in his book. Israel is not only blind, they are stupid. But this pattern holds true in the New Testament as well. Moses prophesied this way back in Deuteronomy 29:29. He said, the revealed things, and this is a paraphrase, the revealed things and the things not yet revealed, but that will be revealed, pertain to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Well, how's that been working out for Israel? This will not be fulfilled until the very end, and in the millennial kingdom. The mystery of the body of Christ is not for Israel, and is the exception to the statement. So, not all things revealed are for Israel and their children. In the Gospels, there are mysteries. Matthew 13:11. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. This is the beginning of parables and mysteries in Matthew 13 when Jesus pronounced the blindness of Israel. And Jesus says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing that ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they are closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, they should understand and hear with their heart, and should be converted, and should heal them. We can see that in Christianity today. Mark 4:11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Luke 8:10. Another version of this. And he said, and to you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now in John's gospel, John does not mention the word mystery, because John's was written after the final rejection of the Messiah at the end of the book of Acts. John's gospel is to the present age, while the kingdom has been temporarily set aside.
Excuse me.
But John confirms the blindness of the religious leaders of Israel. In John 12:39-40. Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. How many preachers and Christians read these verses about blindness and don't see, no pun intended, don't see this might apply to themselves? Look at the result of so-called Christians who fail to rightly divide the word of truth and cannot seem to understand what happened at the end of Acts. You could probably cry this in the streets and they'll just laugh at you. But then they have received this They have received the salvation of God and eternal life through Christ Jesus, but their priorities in life are far from coming to the knowledge of the truth. And I just hear this all the time. They have been told that religion and going to church are on the right path. That seems to me that the broad gate and the broad path are where they occupy, and not the narrow gate and the narrow path. I don't think there's any churches on the narrow path or religions. What I continue to hear every day is that people, especially Christians, are too busy with kids and grandkids to study the Bible or attend faithfully a weekly Bible study. Or they go to a church where there is family or social connections. Some worship their church, social life, more than they worship God or the truth. It's all about how they feel and what they feel about the teachings of the minister. After Christ, the head is manifest in glory, and the body of Christ is manifest with them. Churches and religions will continue as before. Instead of coming to the unity of the faith, they are splitting at lightning pace, and churches are becoming social clubs and business networking opportunities. Degradation is always the path of man on earth. When you get away from the truth, you go to degradation. Degeneration. In the latter days, people will be grasping for the pant legs and shirt tails of the Jews to get into the kingdom. But for the grace of God, there go I. I was there. I was in all those positions. I know how it was. I am guilty of the same thing. We find ourselves just as Paul, who had such a great passion for his brethren, the Jews, to believe in Christ and for all the saints to see the dispensation of the mystery. We have that same passion. I know we want all of our brothers and sisters in Christ to see this, but it's not for us to decide. It's not for us to give or to judge. So we might ask, and many of us have, why is the mystery of the body of Christ so hard for people to understand? The answer might be, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the body of Christ, that to them it is not given. As Mikey remarks, Mr. Metrikowski, this ought to make us extremely grateful for the grace that is shown upon us from the Father above. We have been given without any merit a seat with Christ at the right hand of the Father with every blessing that is spiritual in the heaven above. All we can do is make some see by witnessing to many and not to be discouraged. So as Paul says, we are to continue in our good works. We can't stop our good works. There are those out there who God has chosen to be members of the body of Christ. We don't know who they are. But if we keep witnessing and not get discouraged by the rejection, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. As Ronnie will tell you about Chip, you never know who's going to respond. So let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the brave men and women who have sacrificed their lives for our freedom, for our pleasures, for our entertainment, for our safety, for our security, for our religious freedom, which is an oxymoron, our freedom from religion and the truth of the mystery of the body of Christ. This is one of the steps necessary to get there, is to have freedom. Because many people, like in China or Iran, have no freedom. In many countries, religion is dictated. Doctrine is dictated to them. We thank you for America. Not only bless the USA, but have mercy on the USA. Have mercy on America. Be with our president, be with our Congress, as they make tough decisions. And be with those that oppose us, that they may turn around and see the light. And Father, we pray for those driving in the race today to be safe. To be safe. And we pray for all of these here today and all those that listen to this message on audio, that they may grow in the love and the grace of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.